If you have brought your Bibles this evening, you might like to turn over to James chapter 3. We will have a fairly lengthy reading there this evening. They'll be behind me as well, so if you don't have a Bible, you'll still be able to read. About every 3 years, there are certain topics that I really like to talk about because they are so pressing and so important, and we need to grow to understand them better and better. And this is one of those subjects. So for the next few weeks, we're going to be talking a little bit about these things. So I just want to lay a little bit of groundwork this evening. So let's go ahead and read James chapter 3, and we'll start in verses 1 through 5. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. At the end of this lesson, I hope that we will all resolve all the more strongly to go over our words at the end of each day, think about what we've said, think about anything that we've said where we stumble, think about anything that we said where we have caused someone some grief, sorrow, because at the end of this lesson, the very last verse, we will see every idle word that a man will speak, he will give an account on the judgment day. By your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. So I want to break this down a little bit with this one. So teachers receive stricter judgment. Why? And the only answer I can see in there is they talk. I'm going to be talking for the next 30 to 40 minutes. In a Bible class, the teacher talks for 30, 40, 50, sometimes an hour. In each class and each sermon, words are flowing from the mouth. And James says it's very dangerous. And so be not many of you teachers, for you will receive a stricter judgment. And the stricter judgment is going to be based on 2 points. The first point is going to be the words that he uses, and the second point will be how he was able to put forth God's word. Both of these are important. You can teach a scriptural lesson, but if you do it in such a way that it is not in love, that it is harsh, or in speaking of things that are inappropriate, and suddenly our idle words are going to get us into trouble. And I don't think the point that James is making here, matter of fact, I know it's not, he's not trying to discourage people from becoming teachers. He's trying to discourage teachers from talking too much and from talking about what they think instead of what the scriptures actually teach. And I think we see that in the multitude of words, as Proverbs chapter 10, 19 and 20, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. The Ecclesiastes writer puts it like this: let your words be few. Talk as little as you can. Because in the multitude of words, the more you talk, the more sin is going to occur. Unless we are very careful and we think through the next words that come out of my mouth, how will they affect people? And how will God view this on the last day? And so in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is worth little. So a preacher, a Bible class teacher, and actually everyone who has the responsibility of doing a lot of talking needs to understand that our words are going to be judged. And it will be a stricter judgment. And in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. And so we have to think very carefully. Now, the second point he makes, which is in the yellow, is if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Now, we know no one is perfect. So what he's telling you is you do stumble in your words, whether you like it or not, whether you want to admit it or not. We say things we should not say. We say things that lead us into sin. And we're not just talking about blaspheming the name of God, taking God's name in vain. We're not talking about lying. We're not talking about stealing or preparing people to do evil things. We're just talking about talk. When you're talking, you hurt people. When you're talking, you mislead people. When you're talking, you do things, you say things, as Paul said, speaking things which they ought not. So the control of the tongue, and of course there's that verse there, do you see a man hasty in his words? I used to think that as soon as somebody finished talking, I had to fill the silence. I don't feel like that anymore. I think I have to think carefully, and if it takes a few seconds, let there be silence. But those words, if we're going to respond, we need to think about, as I said, as he says, if you see a man who's hasty in his words, there's more hope for a fool than for someone who starts talking before they think about what they're trying to say or what emotions they're conveying. And then he goes on to say that the control of the tongue or the power of the tongue is like a bit in the horse's mouth, like a rudder in a ship. Now we all know if you put a bit in a horse's mouth, you properly train the horse, then the horse is going to obey which direction you want to go by the bit. And the same thing with the rudder. The rudder is the little piece of wood at the bottom of the boat, and by turning it, it puts pressure in the water and turns the boat one way or another. Now, how does the tongue do that? What is it about the tongue? Have you ever said something that you wish you hadn't said because it pushes you in a direction you never wanted to go, or it opens a door in somebody else's mind that you can't close anymore? You make a joke or you say something that should not be said, and it starts to impact and change the course of our lives. Preachers will do this. They will start justifying something that's unjustifiable. They will change their teaching, and suddenly their whole life starts to go off a course. And so the tongue is a little member, but it has more power over us, I think, than any other member that we have. The tongue has more control over our ultimate destiny. And that's why we need to carefully take the scriptures. And as we take those scriptures, we apply them to the tongue. Soft answer turns away much wrath. So be careful what you say. Be careful how you respond. The response, God is watching. And our spiritual maturity is set forth by that. Now, I've already quoted this first verse, but I just wanted to put it up there again. In the multitude of words, sins is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver because he purifies them. I'm not going to say that. I'd like to say that. People who joke a lot of times, they say things that upon reflection did not convey the proper attitude. Maybe it's a cutting retort. You're going to make somebody laugh or make everyone else laugh by hurting the person that you're talking about. Proverbs 17, he who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. And then finally, whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Do you see a man hasty in his words? And this, again, this is a verse we already read, but there's more hope for a fool than somebody who speaks before they think, who speaks whatever is in their heart. If there's anger in the heart, the words are angry. If there's jealousy in the heart, the words are jealous. If there is frustration in the heart, that's what we are expected to watch out for. Now, James's next point, continuing on in the book of James chapter 3, see how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Now, I don't think we have to go any further back than Satan's words in the Garden of Eden to see the power that words can have. Satan was able to reframe God's word with his words. He was able to change Eve's heart from a submissive woman who loved God and wanted to serve God to a rebellious woman who wanted to be wise like God and who didn't care that she had to break God's law. And even after she did it, she still blamed it on the serpent. The Holy Spirit is testifying of the grave and irreversible damage that the tongue can do. And we've all seen it. We've all seen it with people. They get angry. They say something they shouldn't say. We have a song in our songbook. We'll look at it in a few minutes. Angry words. Let them never, from the tongue, unbridled, slip. May the heart's best impulse ever keep them before they can soil and destroy our lips. And then he says, or the song says, brightest links of life can be broken by a single angry word. So, just like a fire in a forest starts a process that can't be fixed. I mean, once that tree is burned, it's burned. It's destroyed. You can't bring it back again. Relationships are like that. And we've all had people that were our friends. And we said something to them, or they said something to us, and suddenly the relationship starts to come apart. It's interesting, and I don't know how strong to take this, but in verse 6, he doesn't say the tongue is like a fire. He says the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. And it defiles the whole body, sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. I would submit to all of us here that there's a lot more here than we will ever comprehend until this life is over. Because the Holy Spirit is taking us all the way to Gehenna, the hell of fire. The course of nature that the tongue has the opportunity to fire up is set on fire. The source of it, or maybe not the source of it, maybe the result of it, is hell. So the tongue works like a fire. Now, I think the basic idea here is that emotions are like wood and paper. If you put a match to a rock, nothing's going to happen. But if you put a match to paper, paper will burn. Why does paper burn and a rock doesn't burn? Well, because of stability issues. God created some substances to be unstable. They want to go into another form. And when you put fire to them, they quickly combust and change into that other form because God designed it that way. And the same thing is true with the human emotions. Human emotions are not stable. Love can turn to hate. Devotion can turn to coldness and callousness and a desire to no longer have a relationship. And so this is what can happen with the tongue. The tongue has the ability to break the brightest links of life. We sing the song, but do we really think about the application? How many of us have a damaged relationship because of words? Our words or their words? And so people need to understand, sowing discord among brethren can't be done without a tongue. Unity among brethren is not stable. We all understand that. I wish it was. I wish that once we became united, nothing could break it. But that's not the case. The sad reality is that the wrong words, I could preach a sermon tonight that would turn the whole congregation into distrust. What kind of a preacher do we have here? And then talk would start. And some would side. We've seen this before. A preacher gets up, he says something, people side with the preacher. People side with the scriptures. People side, they don't like the preacher, so they side against the preacher. And it doesn't have to be a preacher. It can be one of the members. Some things are not stable. Love is not stable. Love can be burned up. Devotion, faith is not stable. Faith can be burned up. So, slander and whispering and all that is left is dust and ashes and bitterness. Now, be not many of you teachers. That's what it leads into. James wants us to understand the terrible danger of the tongue. Let's look at a couple of verses here. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Now, the tongue can't be deceitful unless we're deceitful. But if we're deceitful, then the tongue can be used to accomplish the things that he describes here. The tongue devises destruction. Well, actually, the heart of the tongue devises the destruction, but the tongue brings it into operation. Satan had in his heart the destruction of the human race. It was his tongue that brought death into the world. So his tongue devised destruction like a sharp razor, a worker of deceit. Now, sadly, there are false preachers out there that are doing this. There are fair-weather friends out there that are doing this. There are covetous people who want to be our friends so they can take things from us. There are people who use their tongue to develop a relationship when they don't care at all. Psalm 64, hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow. That's what Jack was talking about this morning. That's what the people did to Jesus. They used their tongue to try to cut, to try and damage as much as they can. We're seeing this today in America a lot. People using their tongues to divide, to bitter, to make bitter, to make angry. And we have to be careful. Psalms 140, they sharpen their tongues as a serpent. Poison of a viper is under their lips. And then finally, Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, I hope at the end of this, we're starting to be afraid, because that's what God wants us to be. When he says the tongue is a fire, when he says the tongue is a rudder, then he says the tongue is a bit, when he says that the tongue is a world of iniquity, he's trying to help us understand how dangerous the tongue can be. Here's some more. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now, we are very fortunate in this congregation. I've been here for 10 years, and I have yet to see someone in this congregation doing any of these things, but they're out there. And you've seen them before. I'm sure this congregation has had these kinds of people. And it's those little words that are spoken, whispered into the ear of another, changing the way that they see things. Because, as I said a moment ago, emotions are not stable. Love can be destroyed by the tongue. It can be burned out. And so can a love of God be destroyed by a tongue. That's what those Pharisees were trying to accomplish. Then there's all these other verses. A perverse man spreads strife, And a slanderer separates intimate friends. A man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruin. So, the point of all of this is just very basic. Be careful with your words. Think them through carefully. Sift them. Purify them like silver. Make sure that the words that proceed from our mouths are words that on the judgment day God can play back to us and we can say, Lord, I was trying as hard as I could to be careful. Because, you know, sometimes when we offer a sharp retort, we don't mean it. But that's the problem. People perceive it. Every kind of beast and bird, a reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. The minute you think, I got this under control, I don't have to worry about the tongue anymore, the next moment something's going to come out of your mouth that you never anticipated. No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse man, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapefruit or grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Well, what do you think the point is of that? I think what he's saying is that by the tongue we declare the kind of person we are. So the first thing, man has attempted and succeeded in taming beasts and birds, reptiles and creatures of the sea. You can go to SeaWorld and you can see tamed fish. You can go to a circus and you can see all sorts of tamed animals. You can go to a snake charmer and you can see a deadly serpent that has been trained to be not dangerous. And yet, every once in a while, even a snake charmer will be killed. But the point James is making, or the point the Holy Spirit is making, is while all animals can be tamed, no one can tame the tongue. So even in my home, even in our home, let's keep this broad, even in our home, we have to be careful what we say. You're watching a TV program. Some news is on. You're so disgusted at what's happening in the world. And what do? You speak evil of a ruler. But Paul said, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people. It's dangerous. But the rulers are doing things that are disgusting. Well, be careful. Because the tongue can put you in a position. I mean, we can't do anything about this. God is in control, and we need to let God handle it. And we just need, when we feel like that, to pray to God, Father, please, I trust you. I know you're going to handle this. Help me not to think or say what shouldn't be thought or spoken. Because when you're mad enough, anything can come out of your mouth. Things you never even thought. Or sometimes when we're joking, things pop out of our mouth that we thought it was funny, but upon reflection, wasn't funny at all. Made people laugh. But one person it didn't make laugh. The tongue is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So the point is, we just can't trust our words. So what does that mean? You can't trust your words. Well, it means we need to be careful. Do these words need to be spoken? I need to think about this a little bit. There's been many times in my life where I was all ready to say something and I thought to myself, you know, you're a little bit angry now. Why don't you wait till tomorrow? And then tomorrow comes and you say to yourself, boy, I'm so glad I didn't say that. I'm so glad that I thought better of that. Other times you say, I wish I'd said that. And maybe later you do say it. But under purified, cleansed, and proper emotional supervision. And the point of verse 11, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter? How can we tell the people we love them, and then the next minute get mad at them and say something cutting? God says, that shouldn't be. No fountain can do that. And no tree can do that. Every tree produces after its kind, and the tongue should produce after its kind. If we're righteous, then the tongue should be producing the fruits of righteousness. And when it is not, we need to recognize and understand we're stumbling in word. And we need to repent, and we need to confess. And we need to take those words back as far as we can. But like I say, sometimes you start a fire. The tongue is a fire. The tongue can't be tamed. Don't be many of you teachers, because you have to talk a lot. And in the multitude of words, there's going to be sin. So those of us who are extroverts, we need to be careful. We like to talk. I know some people, they can talk. But they need to be careful. They need to be sure that every word is pure, every word is clean, every word is exactly conveying what they want it to convey. Here's Jesus' warning. Every idle word, just words that come out of your mouth, you're not even thinking, just talking. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? How'd your day go? How did this? Talk. And then on the judgment day, here's the recording. Why'd you say that, Helen? Why'd you say that? Every idle word, we will give an account. Why did you say that? And you better be able to say, Lord, I had a reason. Or Lord, I was wrong and I repented. Or Lord, I'm ashamed. You will give an account of it. But look at verse 37. By your words, you will be justified. And by your words, you will be condemned. And so the real purpose of this lesson, because this is my last verse, this is my last slide, the real purpose of this lesson is for all of us to understand. Now, God calls it books. We might call it a tape recorder. God has a tape recorder 24/7. Or it's all being written in a book, 24/7. We're told in Revelation chapter 20, the books are going to be opened. And men are going to be judged by what's written in the books. Well, I know that my words are in that book because that's what Jesus says here. Every idle word, you're going to have to give an account. Well, we can't give an account of it if nobody remembers it. So God is listening and writing or recording. And on the judgment day, he can play back anything he wants. Alan, why did you say that? Well, Lord, I don't remember ever saying that. Well, here, let me show you what you said. Oh, yeah. Well, Lord, I was angry. Well, that's a good excuse, isn't it? Lord, I wasn't thinking. Yeah, you weren't. But you caused a great grief and great trouble for someone. By your words, you'll be justified. That's why the Ecclesiastes writer and the proverb has said, let your words be few. Because in the multitude of words, you're going to have to give an account of all of those words. And again, these are not my conclusions. These are Jesus' conclusions. That's what Jesus says here. By your words, you will be justified. By your words, you will be condemned. So the next time we're irritated and we say cutting words, before they come out of our mouth, let's ask ourselves, how will I respond when God says, why did you say that? Maybe I better not say that. Maybe I need to be angry but it's not going to come out. No one's going to see it. You clamp your teeth down and you say to yourself, this is not the time to respond. Whatever I say right now, I'm going to regret later. And so the Lord is very, very clear. And James is a very powerful verse. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this, more in specific areas. I just wanted to give a broad overview of the dangers of the tongue. And I'd like for all of us, if you can, if you will, read James a few times through the week and think about if there's any changes we need to make in the words. Sometimes, as I say, it's better just not to respond. A soft answer. Can you finish it? Turns away much wrath. Sometimes, let him talk. Let him be irritated. Let him say things. Don't let them cause you to respond in a negative way. And so as we conclude our lesson this evening, there's not a single person in this room who isn't indicted by these passages. How do I know that? Because that's what God says. He says, you can be a perfect man only if you don't stumble in tongue. But everyone stumbles in tongue. And so as we sing the song of encouragement this evening, there may be someone in the room who needs to repent of something they've said. Maybe not to the congregation, maybe to an individual, maybe to God. Maybe to the congregation. If we can be of any help to you this evening, as we ponder these things and as we sing the song of encouragement, we invite you to come.